We begin the current daf Masechet Zvachim daf Tzadik Gimel. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous Gemara on the previous daf, which we're having these types of questions regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding when the blood of a korban chata spills in the garment, which the Torah tells us that one has to wash the garment. So now the Gemara has the following question: Boyimnei Rami Bar Chama Rav Chizdi says Nites Al Beged Tamei. If let's say the blood of the korban chata drips onto, it gets sprayed onto an impure garment. Now, therefore, by default, the blood of the chatas is becoming tamei when it touches that garment. Ma, what's the halacha? What's the question? Question is, do we qualify now that blood as dam pasul? Because it's tamei, and tamei blood is not valid to do the hazal with that. So it's as if it became tamei before it touched the garment. Therefore, the garment, as we said in the previous daf in the Mishnah, that when you have dam pasul, what touches the garment does not make it have to be washed. Or maybe do you say that no? Since at the moment that the blood fell on the garment, it was still valid. Now, the blood became invalidated at the same moment that the garment required to be washed, as the Gemara is going to explain right now from Rav Yehuda Yeshua, and therefore maybe we're going to say that it is going to be required to be washed because it was not tamei before it touched the garment. It happened what's called boin keech, it happened at the same time. So now the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Huna Barid of Yeshua, he says, from the fact that Rami Bar Chama had this question, so it's obvious that it was simple to him that if it became tamei beforehand, then it wouldn't have to be washed, even though that there was a moment of it being valid, because up until the blood became tamei, it wasn't like when the blood that was invalid because it was done with a machshavas chutz l'zman chusam kamei, it had a moment of opportunity, but then it did become tamei. So Shema Menor, we could infer from his question, obviously he held, if it had an opportune time to be valid blood for Hazah, and then it became Tameh, then became Tameh or some other type of invalidation, that then ain't Dameh Toin Kibus, that was obvious for him, that then you're not going to have to wash the garment. However, when the blood becomes invalid, at the same moment that it touches the garment, that's where his question was, that do we say, Hanamili, when did we say that, when it's invalid blood, that then, if it touches the garment, it's not going to have to be washed. Maybe that's only bezeh achar zeh, where the blood first became pasul, and then it got sprayed on the garment. Even though it had a shas akasha, but still, like we said in our Mishnah, if it's going to be pasul, it's not going to require the garment that it falls in to be washed. But his question was, of bevas achas lohi, maybe if it happened at the same time, that in other words, the requirement of the garment to be washed, I mean the moment it touches it, is the same moment that the blood becomes invalidated, maybe there we did not say that it's exempt from the halacha of washing. No, maybe there's no difference. And therefore, since it became tamei when it touches, it's not going to require the washing of the garment. That's the question of Rami Bar Chama. Adam Alay, so that he responded back, he says, it's plukta d'rabbalaz rabbanan. This question is contingent on machlekes tanoim, which alib the rabba goes according to the interpretation of rabba, because there is a different interpretation of the machlekes like we're going to see from rava, ukedemetaretz abaya. The way abaya ends up resolving the interpretation of rabba in his machlekes d'rabbalaz rabbanan, that interpretation will tell us that this question of machama is their machlekes. The time like Linda Bryson. He says the following halacha. It says, Mechatas shenitmu. Mechatas are the purification waters that are used for with the paradum and the ashes of the red heifer that are used to purify a person that became tummy from coming into contact with a corpse. He has to be sprayed with that liquid with that ashes on day 3 and day 7 this purification process. So that mechatas, that water of the paraduma, mitaran. Even though they became tummy, they're still going to purify a person who had become tummy from a mess, as if the waters were not tummy. And I'll prove it to you, says Rav Elazar. Why? Shaharei nida, we have a menstruating woman, who, if she became tummy from coming in contact with a mess, the halacha is, mazna leo, we could spray on her the mechatas, before she even immersed to purify herself from her nida, and then, when she immerses herself in the mikvah, she's going to do it for both tummas. For the Tumah of Mes and the Tumah of Nida at the same time. Because, says Rabbi Elazar, we don't find anywhere in the Torah that it required that a Nida has to first immerse herself in the mikvah for her Nida, and only then to be able to be sprayed with the Mechatas, because generally that's what happens. Mechatas sprayed 3 and 7, and then afterwards he immerses himself afterwards. Say Rosa, but a Nida, she'll get sprayed on day 3, day 7, and at the end of that process, she's going to immerse herself in the mikvah, and that immersion is going to help both for her Nida, which the purification is through Tefillah, and after being sprayed 3 and 7 with the mechatas, then the immersion is also to purify from the tumas mess. So says Rabbi Elazar, you have a proof over here from the mechatas waters, which they became tamei before they were sprayed, which Rabbi's going to explain exactly where you see that. It didn't become tamei before it sprayed. It became tamei as it hit her. So that's going to be, you're not going to see anything over here regarding if it's already tamei. Rabbi Elazar is trying to bring a proof to the mechatas that were already tamei. Still it's going to purify. What's going to be the raya? To the case, where's the raya from that nida? It's not tamei beforehand and it still purifies. At the moment it purifies her, it becomes tamei. So we're going to see from here that even if it's tamei beforehand. So Vama Rabbi, he says, I'll explain to you. Rabbi Elazar, who brings a proof from the mechatas, the purification waters of the tumas mess on a nida, which similarly is not the same, like we're pointing out, because by nida, the being sprayed and the mayim becoming tamei are happening at the same time. So that's not a proof what Rabbi Elazar wants to bring regarding if the mechatas waters were already tamei before they were sprayed. So rather, explains Rabbi, says, it's not difficult because Rabbi Elazar was saying this, b'shitas Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Amra. He was saying it according to the opinion of his teacher, Rabbi Kiva. The Amra, then he says the following halacha. He says, havaras kli, transporting a vessel that's holding the mechatas. And we're talking about specifically the mechatas waters. If someone transports the vessel holding the mechatas, al gabi makim tamei, over an area where there's tumah, kemunach dami, it's as if that it's in laying down in that spot where the tumah is beneath it. In other words, anything that transmits tumah to the mechatas will transmit it when it passes over its airspace. So therefore, says Rabbah, when the water becomes tumah, when it passes over the airspace of the nida, before it hits her, boom, before it sprays on her, when it's in her airspace, when it's about to land on her, it already became tamei. Now, but the hazah, her purification from that, is only when the water actually touches her skin, touches her flesh. So you see that from the halach of nida, it is the same case, where it is tamei beforehand, and yet still it's going to purify. So that answer, that's Rabbi Elazar's proof, that mechatashin mu'ar metarim. Says the Gemara Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Parah to prove this opinion of Rabbi Kiva that Rabbi Elazar is going like. The Mishnah says, if let's say there was an oven next to the wall, and in the wall there was a window. There was a window pane, there was a ledge over there by the wall, which there was a window. Now on that windowsill there was a picture of Mechatas, and a person is standing beyond the oven. In other words, he's past the oven. The oven is between him and the wall. So the Mishnah says, if let's say the person was standing beyond the oven, and the sheretz betana in the oven, there was a sheretz, which transmits tumma to the mechata. So it's something that conveys tumma. V'hayshid yadi l'chaloin. Now the person stretches his hand out to the window, which is over the airspace of the oven. V'natal es halogin, and he takes the picture of the mechata, as the Mishnah Masechtas Parah explains this, which this is a special stringency regarding the mechatas, which has many stringencies more than other types of sanctified items. Veviroi al pi hataner. And now he's passing over the pitcher over the opening of the oven, which is an open space where their ovens used to be opening, not on the side as some ovens, but on the top. Says the Mishnah, Bekiva Matame, says those mechatas became tame. Bachachamim matame. Chachamim say it's tar. Now, what's the machlekes? Says the Gemara B'Hopliki. This is what they're disagreeing about. Rabbi Kiva Sava Kumunach Dami, he says, although you're only passing over the airspace of the sheretz, it's like it's in the oven itself, which has the tum of the sheretz inside of it. Rabban Savi Lav Kumunach Dami, Rabban say, no, it's not like inside of it, and therefore it's not going to be tummy. So says Rabba, therefore that's where Rabbi Elazar was coming from. When you spray it on the nida, it's not happening boing ke'ech, it's not happening in the same moment. When it's in the aver of her space, it already became tummy. Like, because we're talking about the mechatas. And therefore, you see that it was tummy beforehand, and you see that that's okay, so therefore that's going to prove Rabbi Elazar's halach. That's the way Rabbi had interpreted. But the Eitzvei Abaya, Abaya had asked on Rabbi from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, the Moed Rabbi Kiva, even though, like we had just said before from the Mishnah Masechtas Parah, that Rabbi Kiva disagrees with the Rabbanan regarding the lug and the picture of the mechatas, which is that it's going to become tummy just passing over the airspace. The Braisa says he agrees, Bahazah, when you're spraying, Shehevira al-Kli Cheres Tamei, that if the spray went over the airspace of an earthenware vessel that's tamei, which is that a person that he was spraying on the person, and you had an oven that was tamei that was in between, and now the spray went over the airspace of the oven, or al gabi mishkav v'mayshev tamei, or similarly, if it passed over the airspace of something that was used for sitting or lying, which also transmits tamei, and it's going over that airspace. Says the Braisa here, Rabbi Kippur would agree, she tahira, that the mechazes would be tar. Why? Didn't you say if it goes over the airspace, it becomes tummy? So that says the Braisa, she'en lecha davar shemetame lamalik kalamata. There is nothing that transmits tumma on the top like it is on the bottom. In other words, with the tumma of oil, which is just being in the airspace, just like when it's on the bottom, when it's actually touching the thing, elikazaisim names, rather an olive-sized piece of a dead person, which transmits tumma being in the same oil, in the same tent, or being over the thing, ushar kal ma'ilno, or all the types of things that have specifically have the stringency of the tumma of oil. And what's that coming to include? Lasuya evan hamnugas, to include a stone that has a nega. Now, but one thing we see from this is that it's not the same case. Rabba's comparison is not correct, because by the case of the nida, they're spraying the mechatas on the nida. Then you can't say that, oh, because Rabbi Loz is going like his teacher, Rabbi Kiva, because once it comes in the airspace on the need, it's going to become tummy. Because the Raisa says clearly that Rabbi Kiva agrees when it's being sprayed, not being passed over, that it's not going to become tummy. So how can you bring a raya of the mechata shenitmu that's going to be retired from the case of the nida? Wait, but nida happens at the same time. No, it's not the same time. Because when it passes her airspace or it became tame, it's not true. It's being sprayed on the nida when she gets purified with mechatas. And there Rabbi Kiva does not say that halacha. So Elam Abai, rather Abai says, no. The kuliyam alav kumunach tame. Not the way Rabbi had said it. Evan agrees, including Rabbi Kiva, that when the mechatas is passing over the airspace, it's not like you see like it's inside and that's why it's tame. You don't say that type of stringency in mechatas. Rather, Bahach, over here, their machlik is a mesechta's part regarding the picture of the mechatas. Bahach, this is what they're disagreeing about. Rabbi Kiva Savar, he held gazrinon, it's a gzera, shemi yenuach, that maybe you might, if you're passing it over, you might come to put it into the airspace as you're passing it over, which is going to make it tummy. So as a special stringency of mechatas, we said we're going to make it tummy even when it's passing over, not because it's actually like you see it inside, it's a rabbinic decree. Rabban Savar, look at it, and Rabban said, no, we don't make such a decree. And that's what the Braisa says. Rabbi Kiva bazah, the Rabbi Kiva agrees that when you're not passing it over, rather that you're throwing it, oh, there Rabbi Kiva is going to agree that of course it's going to be tar. Why? Because here the rabbinic decree doesn't apply, because Kiva the Nafik, once it leaves his hand, Nafik, it's totally out of his possession, and therefore there's no concern to think that he might put into the airspace of the oven. It's already out of his hand. And that's why Rabbi Kiva would agree in that case. And that continues Abaya. So then Rabbi Lazar, that he's bringing Raya to his halacha, from the case of spraying the mechatas on the nida, and the rabbanon who disagree, and they say that there's no proof. So, but my kemefugi, what are they disagreeing about? On that of Abaya, he says, not like the way Rabbah had said that it's coming from the machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the rabbanon, because that's not talking about as if you see that it's in the airspace as if it touched it. No, no one says that halacha. So then where's Rabbi Lazar coming from? So he says, the machlekes is bedanon tumma keduma. The machlekes is regarding, let's say, in the case of mechatas, which Rabbi Lazar was talking about, where if it became tame before it was sprayed, in other words, a tuma that's already here, do we learn that out mituma shebaisa shah, from a tuma that's happening at that same moment, which is the case that Rabbi Lazar is trying to bring a raya from, when you spray the mechatas on a nida, where there the water is becoming tame at the same time that the spray is happening on the woman. That's what kamifiki, that's what they're disagreeing about. Mar Sabadon and Rabbi Lazar held that you could learn out that it's the same thing. Boin ke'echad is the same thing that it already became tummy, because ultimately when it's hitting the woman, the mechat, it's becoming tummy, yet still you see it's purifying her. So Rabbi Lazar said it's the same thing. Even if it's tummy from beforehand, it's still going to purify. Umar Sabadon and Rabban held that no, it's not good. You can't learn out the same thing. It's not the same idea. And because one is already tummy, one's happening now, you could say it's purified and then this becomes tummy. Now, so therefore, regarding the case that we had brought up before of the question of Rami Bar Chamam, regarding when we said if the dam chatas falls, the blood of a karma chatas falls on a beggar that's already tummy, we had asked that question and we said, oh, that's contingent on machligas Rabbi Lazar Rabbanan. Why? Because according to Rabbi Lazar, it's not going to have to be washed. Why? Because although the tumma happened at the moment that it fell on it, he says it's the same thing as if it was tummy before. And as we know, blood that's tummy red before, that's dam pasul that you're not going to have to wash the garment for. According to Rabbanan, it's not the same thing. And therefore, since it wasn't tummy beforehand, although it becomes tummy right now, it is like the mechatas is falling on a regular mechatas is falling on a garment, and therefore you will have to wash the garment according to Rabbanan. Now Rashi just points out one thing. Why did the Gemara originally say that this machleik, this answer to Rabbi Chama's question is going to be contingent machleik is Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan according to Rabbi the way Abaye answers it? Why doesn't the Gemara just say according to Abaye? Because actually it falls off Rabbi's interpretation. And that says Rashi because Abaye was Rabbi's Talmud as we find throughout Shas. And he's not disagreeing with him. Rather he was talking and learning with him and interpreting, and Rabbi ended up agreeing with him, and therefore it's really Rabbi, but according to the way Abaye ended up resolving that interpretation of Rebbe Elazar. Now, again, as we said, the answer to Rabbi Chama's question will be based on the Machlokes Tanoim in Rebbe Elazar Rabbanan, only the way Abaye answers according to Rab. But says the Gemara, Ravam, he gives a different interpretation, Machlokes Rebbe Elazar Rabbanan, and therefore it wouldn't be a right to our question. He says, the Kuli Alma ain't done it. Truthfully, everyone agrees, no, you cannot learn out Tumah Keduma from a Tumah that's Boin Ke'echad. So therefore, it's not going to be a machlokes tanoim. And Rabbi Elazar would agree that no, you could only learn out tumah keduma from a tumah keduma. So you can't learn out from something that's happening right now. So then, what are they disagreeing about? Isn't that a case of tumah keduma from tumah haboy that's happening right now? Because isn't the nida happening right now, like we said? And versus the case that they were discussing was if it already was tum beforehand. Says the Gemara, what they're disagreeing about is Rabbi Elazar Sabi, he holds two halachas. First of all, hazad tzricha shir. When you're spraying the mechatas, there is a minimum measurement that has to be sprayed. And second of all, umitzarf al hazois. The halacha is also that we combine the sprays. Based on, if you hold like that, the way Rabbi Elazar holds, so when the first spray falls on the nida, it's not yet considered a hazah to purify her. So even though that first spray already became tummy when it touched her, and it wasn't boing ke'echad, because it wasn't a hazah yet. It's still the halacha is that it's going to go ahead and combine with the second spray to fulfill the measurement, the minimum measurement of being considered a spray. So you see that mechatas that became tummy before the hazah, which only happens the second time you spray, is going to still be mitar. So therefore, that was his proof for the halacha of, yeah, any mechatas shenit mu is going to be mitar. But Rabban Savri hazah ain't srichashir. But Rabban held that no, there is no minimum measurement. And therefore, it's from the first spray that already is considered hazah. And therefore, you cannot learn out a halacha of tumah keduma, like the case of when it's like the halacha we're still talking about in our Gemara, but Rambam Chama's question regarding nitas, regarding you cannot learn that out to a halacha of nitas labegat tumah, because this case of the nida is a tumah shabu isa. And therefore, I disagree with Rabbi Elazar. You can't learn it regarding the halacha of mechata shenitmu that's going to be matan from nida that maznalau, because no, nida maznalau is happening at the same time. Nida mazala is happening at the same time, like we said, because it's the moment that it touches, they hold it doesn't have a minimum measurement, it already was hazah. In contrast, when that mechad shenitmu, that already was tummy, that's not going to be a raya. Again, according to Rabbi Elazar, it is a tumah keduma, because it has a minimum measurement, and the hazahs were going to be combined, and that's why he says that it's a raya, and therefore, again, that's a different interpretation of machlikis Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan. It's only contingent machlikis tanoim, according to the first interpretation of Rabbi, the way Abaye ended up answering. Now, the Gemara continues, explained the halacha of Mishnah, that said chatas psula, said that regarding if it's, as we mentioned this halacha before, chatas, the dam of a chatas that's pasul, that doesn't, if that falls in the garment, that doesn't have to be washed. So the Gemara says, Tramban learn the braisa, the source for this is, because it says in the pasuk that if it's midama, that from its blood that spills on the garment, you have to wash it. Now, midama, from its blood, is an exclusionary term, saying this blood, but not a different blood. What's that saying? Midam kshera, only from the blood of a kosher karmachatas, v'lim midam psul, but not if the blood became pasul. Now that, Braisa continues with a machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, how to qualify this dam pasul that we're excluding. Rabbi Akiva, I mean, he says, as we referenced his opinion on the previous daf, ha'isla shasa kosher benifsala, if it had an opportune time, and then it became pasul, then dam atoin kibus, it's still going to have to wash the garment, even though it's pasul now, but since it at one time was able to have a zrika, it's going to have to wash the garment. If it never had an opportune time, it came pasul, then in damatoin kibas, then you're not going to have to wash the blood. That's what's being excluded. But if it has shasa kaisha, you're still going to have to wash it. Rabbi Shimon, as we learned in our previous Mishnah, he says, no, echad zeh ve'echad zeh in dom etoyin kibbutz. No, even if it has shasa kasher, if it's tummy now, if it's pasul, you're not going to have to wash the garment that it sprays on. So says Gemara, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason, Rabbi Shimon? Seemingly, we have one miut. You can only exclude the more obvious case. Says Gemara, no, because he holds these two miutim. Ksiv aisa. After that pasuk, where it talks about the washing of the garments and then rinsing out and purging the vessels that the chatas is cooked in, it says kol zarcha b'kahanim yochel aisa. Every male kahanim is they're the ones that eat the carbon chatas. Aisa it is saying and not something else. Uksiv midama, and it also has the other meat of from its blood. So this tumiyutim to tell you one is if it never had a shasa kasher, and chad the other one saying that even lahechad ois l'shasa kasher can be taken school even if it had opportune time to spray it, but now that it's pasul, it's not going to require the washing of the garment. Now, but Rabbi Kiva he would tell you no that oisa that exclusionary term of it is prat l'truma. That's coming to exclude regarding the halacha of merika shtifa, as the Gemara tells later on the Tzavik Vav Amud Beis, that if you cook truma in the vessel, although it's also considered sanctified, then you don't have to purge out the vessel. That's what Isa is coming to exclude truma for that halacha, but not regarding the halacha of kibbutz. But on that says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon l'tameh. But Rabbi Shimon, that's not difficult according to his opinion, as the Gemara says later on the Mishnah of Tzadihim Beis, because the Amar, he says, kachim kalim ain't tunim merika b'shtifa. He says that even karbanis, but lower level karbanis, they don't need to be cleaned and purged for kolshkin truma. You know from a kolshkin that truma does not require the halacha of merika b'shtifa, and therefore you don't need oisa to exclude truma from that halacha. And therefore he still has that extra word oisa to be mayit, not just if it didn't have a shasa kasher, but even if the dama chatas had a shasa kasher, still that's why, as we said in the halacha of our previous mission, like Rabbi Kiva, it's still not going to require the halacha of kibbutz of laundering the garment. And therefore it comes out, according to Rava, that according to his interpretation, everyone, Rabbi Elazar Rabbana, all going to hold in the question of Rambam Chama that the garment is going to have to be washed. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the halacha of our parak regarding the dam chatas, which has a unique halacha that when the sprays in the garment has to be washed. So now the Gemara continues, the Mishnah says, nitiz min hatzavar ala beged, but let's say it sprays directly from the neck of the animal onto its spirits onto a garment. And that says the Mishnah, then ain't a turn of kibbutz. Then actually it's not going to require it to be washed, as the Gemara will explain the reason for that. So to min hakeren, if let's say after being put, the damachatas is put on the corner of the mizbeach, it then sprays onto a garment, or min hayisayd. What actually that means, as the Gemara explained on Perek B'Shamad Aflam HaTesim and Aleph, it doesn't mean that if it actually fell from the foundation mizbeach onto the garment. It's referring to the shiyari hadam, which is poured onto the yisayt. As the Gemara there explains, when it says minakarin, it means literally it's sprayed from the corner onto a garment. When it says min yisayt, it means what's ro'u for the yisayt. Because anytime the blood has already been sprayed, then the leftover blood, if that spills on the garment, it doesn't have to be washed, as the Gemara will explain the reason for that. So these two cases, from the corner or what's fit for the yisayt, meaning once the blood has already been thrown, if the shirayim spills on the garment, then in the tarin kibbutz, it does not have to be washed. So to the Mishnah says, Nishpech ala ritzpa. So let's say it spilled directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor of the azara, and vasaf then was gathered, and then it fell onto someone's garment. Again, since there the blood is already pasul, so ain't toin kibbutz, so then it's not going to have to be washed if it falls on the garment. So concludes the Mishnah, ain't toin kibbutz. There's no requirement of washing the garment that the blood of the chatas falls in it, el adamish in a skabel bakli, only if it's blood that was received in the vessel, which excludes the case of, let's say, when we said it goes straight for the neck, or when it went from the neck onto the floor and then into the garment, and vero lahazo, and that it's also fit to be sprayed. The Gemara is going to ask, well, what's the necessity of saying this? This is basically the inverse of what we said is pasul. We're saying that this is what's going to be required to say that it's kosher. The Gemara first brings sources for the halacha. You would think, as we said in Halach, it says if it's the blood of the chat that spills on the garment, you have to wash it. Even if it goes straight from the neck of the animal onto the garment, that you hate torn kibbutz, it should have to be washed. That's the pasuk teaches over there in that context. It says, asher yizeh, that which will be sprayed. What that means to say is, I only said this halacha, that it will be sprayed, meaning that it's fit to be sprayed. What type of blood is fit to be sprayed? It has to first have Kabbalah. Only then could it have the hazad, the zrika. So therefore, if it goes straight from the neck, it's not going to require the washing of the garment. So to the other halacha of our Mishnah, Tani, we learn the Braisa that says, Yachal nitiz min ha-keren min ha-yisayit. You would think that if the blood sprayed from the keren or from the blood that's fit for the yisayit, yeitoin kibbutz, if it spills on the garment, it should have to be washed. Tamalam ha-sheyizeh, it says in the future tense, that will be sprayed, prat lazeh shekvar huzeh, that excludes this, which already was sprayed, either because it was on the corner or because it already was sprayed in this, the leftover blood, then that doesn't require the halacha of kibbutz begadim, of washing the garment that it spills on. Now the Mishnah concluded and said, well, first of all, nishpech al ritzpa, if it spills on the floor, straight from the neck, and then it's gathered, that's dam chatas, that's pasal, therefore if that spills on the garment, it's not going to have to be washed. Chulu, etc., which the Mishnah concluded and says that it doesn't have to be washed unless it's dam shen eskabel b'kliver roi lazav. So it's like a tintam and beis. The Gemara asked, hasu lamali, what was the necessity of the Mishnah concluding with that final statement that you only need to wash a garment if the blood was received in the kli first? Well, that was the halacha, the inverse of what we said. Yeah, if it spills on the floor, then it's going to be pasul, and then you don't have to wash the garment. Why do we have to say the inverse? And that says the Gemara, no ma tam kama. That's the Mishnah's concluding by saying, what's the reason? Ma tam nishpecha l'ritzpa v'asva ein torn kibbutz. What's the reason why when the blood spills on the floor, and then you gather it back into a bowl, and it spills on the garment, it doesn't have to be washed? That's what the Mishnah is explaining. Because the halacha of kibbutz begadim is only if it's blood that was received in the vessel and it's fit to be sprayed. Here, when this spills on the floor, it wasn't received in the vessel, and therefore it's not going to have the halacha of kibbutz begadim. Now, the Mishnah had said, so what's the qualifications to require kibbutz begadim? Has to have been received in the vessel, and it's rol hazah, it's fit to be sprayed. And that is the Gemara lemutei mai. What are you excluding? It sounds like two things you need. It's not enough that it was received in the vessel. It has to be fit to be sprayed. When do you have blood that was received in the vessel that's not fit to be sprayed? So what's it excluding? It says, the Gemara lemu'utei kibul pachas mikitei azor b'klizeh. It's excluding the case of when they first received the blood that was less than the minimum amount of being sprayed in one vessel. U'pachas mikitei azor b'klizeh. And then they received in another vessel, also less than the minimum amount of blood that has to be sprayed in a different vessel, and then they were mixed together. That's being excluded with there, since it wasn't received in the minimum measurement. Yeah, by the time you had to throw it, you had the minimum measurement. But in the receiving, so although it was niskaba b'kli, but it wasn't ro lazav, that blood, if it spills in the garment, is not going to have to be washed. It's kind of like learning a braisa. Chalafta ben bar shol oimer, he says, regarding a different halacha, that of mei chatas, which we had mentioned previously regarding the chatas waters, which is used in purification of a tumas mess, kidesh, that is, it's going to sanctify, which is the way they would do it, they would take the mei chatas, which are certain waters that they had to take, with the ashes of the paraduma. You could sanctify it, pachas mechdeh hazoya b'kli zeh, u'pachas mechdeh hazoya b'kli zeh. If someone's going to do it like that, he's going to take first less than the minimum measurement of water in one vessel with the ashes, and do it less than minimum in another vessel with the ashes, and then mix it together. And that says Rabbi Chalafa Bashal, loik yiddish. Then he has not sanctified, it's not going to be valid for the mechatzis waters, as the Gemara is going to explain. Because he boiled the following question. So we know that's the halacha, we don't know the reason why yet. But the following question, bedam mahu, what's the halacha in a parallel case regarding the blood of chatois hapanimius, where if, let's say, it was received less than the amount of what has to be sprayed in one vessel, and then less than the amount in another vessel, and then it was mixed together, is that going to qualify for receiving the blood to be used or not? What's the question? Do we say hilchasihi? Do we say that this is halacha l'meishim Sinai, which is, that's just the way it was received from Har Sinai, regarding mechatas, that, yeah, you can't receive less than the minimum amount, it has to be receiving also the minimum amount, not that it mixed later on. If it's a halacha, or mehilchas olegamina, you can't learn out one thing from a halacha l'meishim Sinai, as the Gemara says in Shabbos Kof Laman Beis Amin Alf. It's called ein dan ma'halacha. You can't extrapolate from a halacha l'meishim Sinai, like a kavachim or gzeir shabbos. You can't. That's where it's limited. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to learn out the halacha of dam, that you can't take less than one pachas minei hazaya and one and pachas minei hazaya and another, and then mix it together. Oidim, or maybe no, it's not a hilchasa. Hasa my time, what's the reason by the mechatas why it's not going to be sanctified if you do it the receiving less than the minimum in both and then mix it together? Is because the chsiv is based on the pasuk by Midbar, and the pot talks about the halacha of the mechatas of the purification waters. It says v'taval b'mayim. The way it's written is b'mayim, in the waters, not b'mayim, in the water. Ba means the one that was mentioned already before, regarding the kiddush, which is, at the time when you do the kiddush, you have to already have the measurement of how much has to be in there when you're going to dip in to spray on the person that's tamei. That's the source where, yeah, so therefore that's telling us even regarding the receiving has to have that amount of kiddush already. By mine, that water. So Hachanamik said, then that means you could compare it over here to the halachas of dam hapanimius, of the chatoyas, because the pasuk says in Vayikra, the tavel, that the kohen dips his finger, ba-dam, in that blood. What blood? That original blood, which you're dipping into, that it has to have that initial amount originally, and not just when you're dipping in now. It's not enough that you mixed it in later on. So that was the question regarding what's the halacha by dam. Can you compare it? Because they both say ba-mayim, ba-dam. Or can you not compare it because there it's a halacha l'meshem Sinai? Says the Gemara, Tashema, let's bring a raya, damer b'zik, amar b'lazer. Says, af ba'dam, l'kiddush, he says clearly that even by dam, you cannot sanctify it that way by receiving less than the amount of one, less than the amount of another one, and then mixing it together, it's not going to be valid because, like we said, you learn that v'tavol ba'mayim, and here it says v'tavol ba'dam. And so to Omar Rabbi says, so to Tanya, we learned this in the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, where we talk about this halacha of dipping by the chatois apanimius, where the kohen sprays seven times towards the pareches, it says in the pasuk v'tavol that he dips his finger into the blood. What that tells us is v'loy mesapik, but he cannot wipe. Can't wipe his finger in the bottom of the vessel on the walls to get the blood out. It has to be dipped in. Badom, in the blood. This is like what we said before. Achihei badom shir tefila meikari. This is only until you have the initial, you have to have the measurement amount of dipping in all the way in the beginning. Badam, that same blood, when you're receiving the blood, has to have that same amount. Which, again, that's the halacha that we're saying, which is being excluded when we're saying that the halacha of the dam chatas that's going to convey tumat when it drops on the person's garment, that says, niskabu b'kli v'ro laza. What do you mean, v'ro laza? V'ro laza is because even though there's a Kabbalah, but he received a less than amount in two separate vessels, you mix it together, that wasn't v'ro laza. Like we see, it's not fit to be sprayed. It's only if it had badam, just like by the mechat, it's only bamaim, only if you had the amount originally received altogether. And that's what you learn out from this word of badam. Continues the Braisa, and it also says, min hadam, from the blood, which is v'hizim and adam, he sprays from the blood. What does that mean, from the blood? Min hadam sheb'inyan, from the blood that we were discussing. Meaning, the dipping of the finger that you sprayed the first time, that's how you're going to spray all the times. In other words, every single time, you have to go ahead and dip your finger in again. There's seven times that would spray towards the hechel, towards the pareches. Every time he has to dip his finger in from the blood, and not from his finger. Now, explains the Gemara, we had in this Braisa, three different halachas that are seemingly very similar. So the Gemara says, the Itzrach, you had to say all these three different halachas. You had to say lemichta badam, you had to say the word badam, that drasha. Because the Ikaz of Rechman of V'taval, had you only had the word V'taval, I would have thought to say, okay, you have to be able to dip your finger in, it has to have a minimum measurement amount inside, because unless you're not dipping in, you're going to be wiping to get the blood. So really, no, it has a certain measurement. Yeah, but I would have thought to say, even though, however, it didn't have when you received it initially that amount, but since right now when you're dipping your finger in, it does have that amount, so that would qualify. Badam. That's what I have to say. Badam in the blood, meaning regarding what we mentioned before regarding receiving it, that already at that point, it has to be that same blood that when you dip in, it already has to have that minimum measurement already then. Now, because of Rahman Badam, and had we only had the pasuk of in the blood, I would have thought, okay, you do have to have whatever is now when you're doing the zrikas. It has to have that already then when you received it, but what is that? I would have thought that's even if it's enough blood just to wipe. Because of Rahman HaVetavah. That's what Tara says, no, you have to be able to dip your finger in. So HaVetavah tells you have to be enough to dip it in, not just wipe. And then Badam tells you that you have to have that already then at the time when you receive the blood. But then says the Gemara, but min hadam sheb'inyan, this drasha that we're saying from the words min hadam, which seemingly they're extra words, which we're making this drasha, because it could have just said, v'hiza shevapam, that you spray seven times. We have to say you spray from the blood seven times. Of course you're spraying from the blood. Lemu'uti, what's that coming to exclude? Amar Rabbi says, lemu'uti shirayim sheb'etzba, like we mentioned before, it's excluding the leftover blood in the finger. If let's say he dips in and he sprays and he has enough blood in his finger to spray again, oh, that's what min hadam says. No, from the blood, you got to go ahead and dip it back in again to spray every single time. Says the Gemara, Misayeya l'Rebbe Lazar. This teaching of Rava, the way he's interpreting the Braisa, that's what Min Hadam is coming to exclude, that the leftover blood in the finger is not good, supports the teaching of Rebbe Lazar. Damar Rebbe Lazar, he said, Shiraim Shabbat Etzba Psulim. He said the same idea. The leftover blood in the finger, that's invalid. Every spray, you have to first dip in your finger in the blood again. However, on this halacha of Rav and Rebbe Lazar, Amali Rav and Baravad de la Rav, he said, Amar Tamitcha, your student said that Amar Rav Amram, that Rav Amram said, that Tanina, that we learned in the Braisa that refutes this halacha of Rebbe Lazar. Why? The Braisa says, Hayamaza. If let's say the Kohen was spraying by the Chatoyas HaPanimius, which is in the Heichel and he's spraying towards the Pareichas, Vinitza Hazza Miyodai. And as he's spraying it, so it sprays from the spray, from his hand onto his garment. So says the Braisa, it depends. Actually, if he didn't spray yet, so toin kippus. So then that blood that spills in the garment has to be washed. But he's already sprayed, then ain't toin kippus, then he doesn't have to wash. So how do we understand it? Isn't the Braisa saying that he is spraying? So what does it mean if he didn't spray or if he did spray? So therefore, the questioner had assumed, my love, isn't this what the Braisa is saying, which is a refutation of Rebbe Lazar? Actually, Gomer Malaz, what do you mean until he didn't spray? What said he's spraying? It means if he didn't yet conclude spraying, then Toin Kibus, then that blood is going to have to be washed. Meaning, even if, let's say, between sprays, the blood from his finger, that leftover blood, sprayed on his garment, it's going to have to be washed. As long as he didn't finish spraying with it yet. So you see that the leftover blood on the finger is valid, because if it wouldn't be valid, then as we've been saying all along, that the dam of the chat is that puzzle, then if it drips on the garment, it doesn't have to be washed. Obviously, that it is valid. And when it says, when you mishagamar hazes, you finish doing all the sprays, oh, then ain't toin kibus. Then, like we said, once you finished all the avoid of the blood, like we said, when it was already thrown on the keren, like we said, we were on shiyari hadam, then that doesn't have to be washed. But seemingly from this halacha, that refutes Rebbe Lazar. You see, the shiyari shabbat etzba are valid. And as long as you didn't finish doing all the sprays with it, if it drips on the garment, you're going to have to wash. And that's the Allah, no, it's not the Vagan Rebbe Lazar. This is what the Braisa is saying. It's not saying until he finishes all the sprays from the blood on his finger. It's saying, actually, it's talking about that initial spray. When it says, yeah, it's saying he's spraying, when it says that if he didn't spray yet, it means, actually, he had dipped in his finger, but the spray didn't come out of his hand yet, meaning he didn't spray yet. Then toin kibus. Then, of course, that blood, if that drips in the garments, it has to be washed, because that's not the shiyari shabbat, but it's the initial blood that he dipped in for. When we say mishayatza hazab biyadi, the next halacha is saying, but let's say after he dipped his finger in, and it already left his hand to spray, and therefore what's on his finger now is the shiyari shabbat, but the leftover blood, that's what the bride is saying, ain't toin kibus. That doesn't have to be washed. That's exactly like Rebbe Lazar. And therefore it doesn't refute him. But Esvei Abaya, Abaya asked on this halacha of Rebbe Lazar, and so too Rava, who was interpreting the Braisa like that, from a Mishnah Masechtas Parah in the third parak of the ninth Mishnah, which the Mishnah teaches as follows. It says, Gamer Melahazis, if the Kain finished the seven sprays, this is regarding the Parah Duma, which they did on Har Mishka on the Mount Olives, that they would be spraying towards the opening of where the Heichel was. It's on a different mountain, but it's towards that direction, like it says in Bamidbar Yotes, Al Neichich Pnei El Moed, he would do it towards the sanctuary, towards the El Moed. So it says the Mishnah, he finished spraying, what does he do with the leftover blood on his hands? Mekanech Yodei Begufer Shalpar, he wipes his hand on the body of the bull, because the blood also has to be burnt, together like the Pasuk says, Es Eirav, Es Besarav, Es Dama, Al Persha Yisrav, the skin, the flesh, the blood, the waist, everything has to be burnt to the Paraduma. So therefore, once he's done with it, he has to wipe the blood off so it gets burnt. Sounds like Abaya says, Abaya from the Mishnah, Gomer in, only if he finished all the sprays, then he wipes his hand on the para. Loi Gomer loi, sounds like, but if he didn't finish yet, let's say he's on the third or fourth spray, then he's not going to wipe his hand off, and he's going to continue spraying with the Shiyari Sheba Etzba. That refutes Rebbe Lazar and Rava. So then Amalei said back to him, no. Gamar, what does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah says, if he concluded all the sprays, then you have to be medayik, you have to be analytical in the words of the Mishnah, then mekanech yadai begufa shapara. The Mishnah said, yeah, only if he concluded all the sprays, then he wipes his whole hand on the body of the pole. Loigam, if he didn't finish, mekanech etzboi. He doesn't wipe his whole hand, because he's not going to burn it yet. But he has to wipe his finger, because yes, you cannot use the leftover blood on the finger. You have to re-dip, and therefore you would have to wipe it off first. So that the Gemara asks, Bishlem Gamar Mekanech Yodei Begufa Shapara. We understand that if he finished all the Azais, as we mentioned this in passing before, he has to wipe his hand on the body of the bull, like it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Besarfas Apar Le'enav, he has to burn the whole bull in front of his eyes. And one of them is like it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yutasei, is Vesdam, is its blood. It says you have to wipe it on the bull so it gets burnt. Eletz Boy, but as the Gemara, according to what we're saying now, but his finger, that you're saying between every spray, he has to wipe it off because you have to do a whole new dip. Yeah, you cannot use the leftover blood on the finger. But then, B'may Mekanech, now what's he going to wipe his finger on? And that is because it's obvious he can't wipe it onto the body of the para duma itself, because his finger is going to get dirty from the para, and the hairs of the para are going to get stuck on his finger, and he's not going to be able to do a proper hazah. So what exactly is he going to wipe his finger on? On that Amabai, he says, B'svas Mizrak, on the edge of the bowl, which holds the blood. Like it says in Pasuk, Kifari Zahav, which is a Pasuk that refers to the Klei Sharis and Sefer Ezra, which refers to the Mizrakim, which are the bowls that are used for the blood that's thrown. Now, the reason actually why it's called Kifari Zahav is because they would wipe their finger on it when they were doing that Vaida. Because like we find the Gemara Gittin by Nirin Kaser, it says, V'kipa, yeah, they wipe his hand. Kifari means a term of wiping, and that's actually why they were called that, because that's where they would wipe their finger when they were doing that Vaida. Because yeah, you had to re-dip it again, because the Shere Shabbat Ezba, like Rabbi Loza said, is actually not going to be valid. Nothing more continues. The next Mishnah continuing on this halach of Nitas, regarding the Dam of the Chattis that gets sprayed. So it says that Mishnah of Nitas ala Ur, if it sprays onto hide, the skin of an animal. So it depends. Actually, if the animal wasn't skinned yet, so then ain't a tarin kibus. Then it doesn't have to be washed, as the Gemara will explain, because you need to have that the garment that it falls on has to be vulnerable to receive tumah, and that there's not lacking any work done to it. So although obviously a hide of an animal is turned into clothing, you make leather out of it, but it's not yet ready for that yet. It's not going to be qualified, classified as a garment, so it wouldn't require being washed. But mishal hufshit, if the animal is already skinned, then Toyin Kibus, the Rebbe Huda says, okay, then it has to be washed if it spills on that hide. Rebbe Lazar, he says, no, Af Mishal Hufshit, he says, even if it was ready skin, as long as it wasn't yet prepared to be a garment, in the Toyin Kibus, it's not going to have to be washed, because he holds it has to be something that actually could be susceptible to right now, that it's not lacking anything, even the thought process thinking, oh, I want this to be a tablecloth, I want this to be a garment, he didn't even think about it, then it's not going to be valid. It has to be ready right now as a garment to be susceptible to tumah, which it's not, even though it's skin, but it wasn't yet prepared to be a garment. Continues the Mishnah, the Bach adds on the words that it doesn't require being washed, ela makam adam, only the place where the blood actually fell on it, you don't have to wash the whole garment. And additionally, v'davashu ro lekabel tumah, has to be something that is fit to receive tumah, meaning even though it's not yet, it's fit to receive tumah. It's still lacking the thought process that the person to designate it as a garment, but as long as it's not lacking any actual work to it, the Mishnah is saying anonymously, like Rabbi Huda, that it's going to already require the being washed, not like Rabbi Laza said. And additionally, virola kibbutz, it has to be fit to be washed, which we're going to explain exactly what is that excluding. Says the Mishnah, Echad HaBeged, this halach applies whether a garment, vechad HaSak, whether a sackcloth, vechad HaOr, or whether we're talking about leather, hide. To in the kibbutz, all these types of garments require being washed. Additionally, by kibbutz b'makom kaddish, the washing has to be in a holy place, meaning in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azara. And the same halacha is v'shvirt kli cheres, regarding breaking a earthenware vessel which a chatzis was cooked in, which you cannot purge it, you cannot do hagala on that earthenware vessel, and therefore you have to break it because it becomes nicer. Also has to be done b'makom kaddish in a holy place in the Azara, as the Gemara learn what the reason for that is. And also umarika b'shtifa b'klina chayshes b'makom kaddish, so to the purging and the cleansing of a metal, of a copper vessel, which could be cleansed, has to also be b'makom kaddish in a holy place. Includes the Mishnah, zeh chaymer, this halacha that we've been mentioning in the Mishnayos up until now regarding washing a garment that the blood spills on, is a stringency b'chatzis that applies uniquely to a karban chatzis, mikachi kachim, from all the other the highest level karbanis of kachi kachim. That thing we're asked on our halacha by Mishnah, Menon Amili, where do we know this from, that it's limited, it has to be specifically like a garment, which we have machlik, is exactly what that means in the Mishnah, but only then is it going to be requiring to be washed when the blood spills on it. So it says the Gemara, turn around like learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk that if it spills on a beged, it says, ala beged ashayiza, on the garment that it gets sprayed on. Say, inli ala beged, I would only know an actual garment. Minayin la rabbis or mishal hufshit, how do I know to include even the hide once it's skinned? Tamalim, ashayiza ala techabis, is like an extra terminology here, that whatever it gets sprayed on, you're going to have to wash. in this vague wording, adding on something else also, which is even if it's not yet a beged. So Yochashani Marba, or actually Hufshitz, I would think, okay, maybe you're going to include even the hide of the animal, even if it wasn't skinned yet. No, Tamalim Mebeged. That's why it also says the terminology of a garment, to tell you, Ma Beged Haro L'Kabel Tumah, at least a garment is fit to be susceptible to Tumah, because there's no garment, no matter how small, if it's called a garment, that's not fit, at least, to receive Tumah, if you're going to think about it, that you want to use it in their current state. So Af Kol Haro L'Kabel Tumah, so to anything that is at least fit to be able to receive Tumah. And therefore, the hide of the animal, once it's skinned, is rola kabotoma. If someone's going to think that he wants to go ahead and use it as it is in this state, but if it wasn't skinned yet, you can't use it as a vessel, you can't use it for anything, it's still on the animal itself. But if it's fit, then it's going to be mekabel, this halacha of requiring to be washed, because since it's rola kabotoma like a beged, so too it's going to have this halacha of having to be washed like a beged. That's been Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Lazayma, as he disagrees in our Mishnah, he says no. It says in the Torah, beged a garment. So, only a beged. I would only know a garment, meaning what does that mean? Generally, when the Torah refers to beged in the Torah, it means tzemer pishtim, it means wool and linen. So, minay l'rabesak, as he said, these words in the Mishnah were said, echad a beged vechad a sak. How do you know to include even a sackcloth, which is made out of the hair of a goat? Or as we get tin type of tzadi dal manaf, v'chol min begadim, all types of garments, like different types of silk garments. That's what the pasuk includes, according to his interpretation, asher that will be sprayed aleho on it to chavis. You wash it off. Like we said, that's including a general terminology, which includes even all types of garments. Yochashani marba or mishal hufshit. Again, but he wasn't including, like Rabbi Yehuda did from the pasuk, even or mishal hufshit. He was including just other types, because beged, he says, is just wool and linen. How do you know goat's ear? How do you know silk? Oh, that's what's included from asher yezal aleho to chavis. But Yochashani Marba or Mishal Hufshit, you would think that would include even the hide of an animal once it's skinned right away, even without preparing it, that then it would be susceptible to this halacha of being washed if the blood spills in it. Tamalam Abeged, that's what Rabbi Elazar says. No, it says garment. Where Rabbi Elazar is learning out, in our context it says beged, from the terminology beged that it says by halacha of Shratzim and Bayikur Yud Aleph, which is Ma Beged Davar Makabel Tumah, just like over there. When it says beged, it means something that literally right now is vulnerable to Tumah, because the Halacha Shratzim is talking about being Matame Beged. Obviously, it's not just that it could be technically susceptible. I mean, it is susceptible right now, Tumah, it becoming Tame. I've called Davar HaMekabel Tumah, so over here in the context when it says about Beged, it also has to mean something that literally could be Mekabel Tumah, which is not the case by hide with skin, because it's not, wasn't yet prepared. You technically could prepare. You could think about it and say, oh, I want to use it like that, and it'll be Mekabel Tumah, but it's not right now. That's the machlekes between Rebbe Elazar and the Rebbe Yehuda, where Rebbe Yehuda says, no, as long as it's Ro L'Kabel Tumah, it's going to have the halacha of having to be washed, which includes Or Mishal Hufshit. And on that, Rebbe Elazar disagrees, says, no, it has to be actually, literally, like the beged by the halacha of Shratzim, that it could be Mekabel Tumah right now, and therefore Or Mishal Hufshit, which is, even though it's Ro L'Kabel Tumah, but it's not, it cannot actually be Mekabel Tumah right now, would not be included in the halacha of Kibbutz Begadim.